WARCY. W8FU.
Connected to CMN Network.
Good morning. Be careful, there's fog everywhere. W8RCY. I can see that. Funny, you can't see, but I can see. It was, I've been up since about 4:15, and I looked outside, and it wasn't that bad, and I said, uh-oh, we're going to have fog today, and then at the top of the hour, I looked out again, and it was worse, and I was going to try to call in Warren Anthony, and he hit the road and headed out our way, and let him know what he might run into as well, but he has not been on the air. I'll expect a doctor's note from him. No, he seems to be more like me. I get a note from Epstein's mom. Epstein from Welcome Back, Cotter. Was always writing notes for the Mr. Cotter's class students that were missing.
Hey, the sign of Crave says opening soon.
I tried calling them on Monday, and the phone just rang and rang and rang, so I don't know. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I don't even care now if it opens or not. I mean, it's been going on since mid-May, that sign, and here we are practically mid-August and nothing, so I'm kind of losing interest in it, and yet at the same time, I wish it would open and maybe have an alternate to Cozy Cabin down the road or something. Who knows? But, yeah, I just, like I say, you know where I stand on the Cozy Cabin. And just before you left on your trip, Phil mentioned to me something that he had a extra charge on his bill and was going to talk to management about it. And I said, see, I'm not the only one. So, anywho, yeah, so. Good morning. Welcome back to the routine, so to speak.
Well, regarding Cozy Cabin, there's a simple solution: pay cash. And the other thing is, it's absent-mindedness. I mean, she can barely figure out who had what, you know. And I think she just rings somebody else's coffee on somebody else's bill or something. They're just nothing nefarious. They're just the waitresses, in particular, are not very careful. So, but anywho, is what it is. I'm looking forward to the new place opening. Who knows what the reason is? You know, they might have a death in the family. I don't know. Can't find help. I don't know. But they've invested a lot of money in that place. I can't imagine they're not going to open. Although, Janet, who worked at the Ram's Horn for years, was telling me, she goes, they're never going to open. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, no, they'll never open. And I go, they've dumped all this money into it. I go, it's all spruced up. And she goes, I know. She goes, they'll never open. So I don't know what she knows, but maybe she's right.
And I don't remember if it was you who mentioned it to me, but somebody mentioned it to me that the owners of Ram's Horn have a connection to the ownership in Craves. So I don't know where I remember hearing that. But, yeah, as long as this is taking them for to do it and they don't open, it's like, okay. I mean, if they can pop a sheets up from ground zero to fully operational in less than maybe 2 months' time, and that's installing, you know, underground fuel tanks and whatever else in bodies and encompasses that goes into building a sheets from the ground up. And a restaurant that was established, it is a restaurant, they're not building something from the ground up or making something out of something else. is taking this long. Yeah. That's just, for me, it's just disappointing.
Well, I mean, don't take it personal. Who knows why they're not opening, but I look forward to it opening whenever that is. Like, I'm not gonna worry about it. It'll open when it opens. I did notice that there was a white transit van that had parked and it had a sticker on it, and it had not moved in months. And this morning as I drove by, that had been moved, and it was backed into a spot closer to the road. So somebody's been there. I don't know for what or why, but yeah, who knows. if they cared, they would update that sign and just say, you know, opening delayed, you know. Maybe they don't have an estimate. What could possibly be wrong, you know? You know, if they have no clue when they're going to open, that therefore they don't put it in there. But it seems like something, you know, open in September or something like that. Like, the Masters, they were closed for a fire for a long time, and we were just talking about it. And right as we were talking about it, it seemed like that same day, all of a sudden the sign updated to opening in September.
Yeah, I don't mean to make it personal. It's just, like I say, you're looking forward to it. And talking to the people at Marco's who have been watching it as well, I talked to Cal a lot, which is the younger of the three, father and the two boys. He says they could be having trouble getting, you know, their permits for food handling and, you know, the code stuff, yeah, code violations, things like that, that they've got to get right as well. That could be because they opened up a place out at 26 Mile and Van Dyke, a coffee house that's only open from like 7 to 3, and their opening was delayed by almost a full month because of getting things up to code and proper, ancillaries that go with that. So, yeah, that could be also a possibility, just getting past all the codes and regulations.
Oh, one never knows. But I am just looking forward to it. That's all I know. And I just shrug my shoulders and say, God, what's taking them so long? But, you know, whatever. Nothing to do with me. I'm sure they got something. So when they open, they open. Let's hope. I got my fingers crossed. I did not care for Ram's Horn. Not that one. No, here we go. My GPS on my phone is wonky. I tell you, this iPhone leaves a lot to be desired. But, I'll just patiently wait. When it opens, it opens. Kind of like Sheets. I don't know how long that's going to be, but when it opens, it opens. They finally opened the one by my work, 16 Mile and Gratiot. That one was supposed to be opened at the beginning of July, and then all that bad weather we had with all the electrical issues, they said, no, it's going to now, it's or mid-July, and then they said, no, it's going to be pushed to late July, and they didn't make that deadline, and I think they finally opened here within the last week or so. So, finally got a Sheets right by work. But I think we had mentioned that. Anywho, it was a nice drive home yesterday. I do enjoy driving. I don't know why. I don't really do anything. Stopped at a couple of expressway oases. Hardly anything worth traveling. I guess I had a purpose, right? So I like driving when there's a purpose.
In my younger days, and I was driving a lot, I too like to drive. I mean, I've done bonsai runs from the town of Forrester down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, South Beach, and stuff like that. In the 80s, I drove limousines for a couple of companies, and there was a company up in Forrester where Joanne's parents live now. National Coach Engineering was the company, and it was actually cheaper to drive the cars down to Florida than put them on transporters. And I was one of the few that they trusted to take these new vehicles and drive them down there. And we do these nonstop bonsai runs, three or four cars in a pack, and, you know, 24 hours, whatever it was, nonstop. And the only thing we stopped for was gas and bathroom breaks, and you couldn't do, you had to do them, like, in the same time, because as we traveled in a group of four, we stayed in a group of four. We just had the minimal paperwork, and, you know, it's just like you coming back from New York, just the minimal paperwork and information. And we got pulled over a couple of times while our four limousines driving through the darkness of the night, cross country, blah, 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 blah. And we never were really detained, but, yeah, that was in the early 80s I did that. I drove up to Marquette a few times, 8-9 hour drive nonstop. But now with my disability, I can't sit in a car that long and do it nonstop. A run like that would just destroy me. I mean, I just drove to Wisconsin for a race a few weeks back, and that was a 6-hour and 45-minute drive each way. And I was in a big SUV, so I sat upright and not down in a small car like your Escape or something. And getting out of that vehicle was not easy. I mean, those guys were, like, in their hotels, and I'm still trying to just get out of the driver's seat. But, yeah, I can't do that anymore. So the luxury of driving for me is kind of, like, gone by the wayside. And I don't even know how many more years I can do it. Being the youngest of the group that goes to things like that, Indianapolis or Wisconsin. Yeah, the only thing I noticed is on the way home, about most of the way home, probably three quarters, I noticed my one of my fingers on my left hand was triggering. It's like a cramp or something in it, from just the way I had it on the steering wheel, pressing on my palm and using my that same finger to reach down to hit the blinker. It we're like, holy cow, I had to shake it out a couple of times. But for the most part, uneventful. that would suck. I don't drive as much as I like it. I don't drive as often as I would like. That'd be a great retirement gig for me, is some sort of courier job. But I don't think I'd like, you know, I like driving, but I don't think I would like anything like Uber or anything like that. You know, little short drives where you're just dealing with traffic all the time. I could live without that. I like the open road. So it'd have to be over-the-road kind of stuff. This is W8FU. I wonder if Anthony's joined us yet.
Sounds like he may be lost in the fog. Hope he's all right. Yeah, I mean, in the last, you know, 12 years that I've retired, the three trips that I do, well, the trip to Wisconsin was odd. This one was the guys from my old, the old guard from the IndyCar series that I started with that are all retired and so on and so forth. And the oldest guy is 85. And I'm pretty much the only one they can really see at night driving. But the two trips I do every year are to Indy with those guys, and then myself, my girlfriend, and her parents, we drive to Chicago to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra West Tour. That's the closest they come to Detroit. And then right around the same day before or day after, the East Tour hits Detroit. And that's like 2 days of nonstop driving, you know, from Detroit to Chicago. We see two shows in one day, back in the middle of the night, and then either the day before or the day after or within a day or two, the Detroit show hits. And it just depends how the thing's scheduled out. And, yeah, that's kind of exhausting for me, physically exhausting. But it's fun and everything else. And, yeah, I don't even know how many more years I can do it, because Joe's parents are 80, they'll be 81 and 78 this year, and by the end of the year.
This is unbelievable. I got all the way to Freedom Hill, and I realized I left my wallet at home. And normally I could get by without, but not today. Son of a bitch, I got to turn around and drive all the way home.
Oh, wow, that's a bummer for sure. Can't even get coffee yet. Oh, no, that's probably when you realized you didn't have it, right? You were getting ready for coffee, and I don't think you're at your point of picking up your coffee, but, you know, you were thinking about it, and that's when you realized you didn't have it.
I have no idea what made me check, but, yep, I usually use my phone for everything, so, man, I grabbed everything, grabbed my keys, grabbed my phones, grabbed my glasses, or did I leave my glasses, too? No, I got my glasses, got my headset, the only thing I left, god darn it. Probably get home and find out it wasn't where I normally set it, so I didn't think of it or something. Gotta have my license. Gotta go to the Secretary of State today to transfer a title, so can't not have my license.
I have an appointment next week, Thursday, to get my license renewed. I gotta go to the Secretary of State. It's been probably 4 cycles since I actually have a photograph taken of me. So that photo on my current driver's license is at least close to 16 years old, and I'm still wearing glasses back then. I mean, technically I still have corrective lenses in, even though they're implants, and I don't know how they're going to word that. Because right now if I get pulled over and they say, you got corrective lenses, you're wearing contacts. No. Oh. Well, I got implants, and I actually have ID cards that I have to show the authorities that I'm not wearing contacts either, but I have permanent implants now.
Yeah, while you were saying that, I was going to say, well, what about people who wear contacts? So you have to prove it, pull your contact out in the road. Never even thought about that.
I believe, you know, it states, I remember my ex-wife had contacts, and she had something on there that says corrective lenses, and then something like it says contacts, or they wear contacts or something. But I don't remember the exact stipulation, but I remember there was certain wording that was put on there. It just doesn't, like, my license just simply says corrective lenses required. And if your picture's taken without corrective lenses, which mine have always been since I was wearing glasses, if my picture was taken without, then something in there, a stipulation that says wears lenses or something, contact lenses. That was on hers. But again, that was like, you know, 35, 40 years ago.
Well, I just renewed mine. They did not make me come in, so they just had to send in the money, the moolah, and they sent me a new one in the mail, so I don't know how many series this. This is at least my second with this photo, I think. I don't know. You would think that something as important as your photo ID, that they would require a new picture every, you know, 3 to 5 years. I can't imagine them letting it go, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. It's ridiculous.
Well, when mine hit 8, which is basically 3 cycles, your original plus 2 more, after that one expired, I thought for sure I'd have to go back for a new photo. Nope. 2 more. So 16 years ago would make it, 2010. The last time my photo was taken, so it was a surprise. So when I knew I was renewing this year, I said, if they don't come after me for, you know, a photo this year, I'm going to go down there and say, what's the matter, don't you guys use updated pictures anymore? You know, but I knew it when I got it in the mail that, you know, it says you must come down because we have to update your photo and certain pertinent information. It should take 20 minutes, and you can send apply for an appointment instead of having to, you know, go there and sit there and, you know,
calling number or whatever card system they had back in the day. That's how long it's been for me. Take a number and wait. I just realized it's been that long. Wow.
Well, I've had other reasons to go there, new vehicles, things like that, but I've been in since then, but it seems to change every damn time I go in, right? I had, it seemed like for the longest time you would go in and you would sign in and then you could leave and they would text you when you were up, so you didn't have to sit around. I don't know if they're still doing that. That would be nice. I just set up for an appointment. I saw they had one today at 3:50. I got off work at 3:30, so it gives me plenty of time to get over to 16 and Gratiot, which is the one I chose. So with the appointment, I guess I avoid all that. Makes it more predictable. 16 and Mound, on my way back. Oh, boy. Joy.
And as you walk in the house, your YL will say, like, that was a quick business day.
Yes, it was. Don't tempt me. I just took 3 days off. I had Friday off, and then I ended up taking Monday, Tuesday off. So I don't need to take another day off. But, man, why is my GPS working so poorly on this phone? I got it on top of the dash, facing up. I mean, it's got a clear view to the sky. And just ridiculous. It's just, it'll be hundreds of yards off the road, just kind of zigzagging across the road and stuff. And then it'll lock in, and then it'll lose again. So, GPS on this phone is not very good.
Well, I guess no Anthony this morning because he'd be just about pulling in. So, anyhow, yeah, GPS. As you know, it's no secret, I DoorDash a lot. And I can track the drivers as they're going from, let's say, 12 Mile and John R. to where I'm at, or even Starbucks across the street from me. And I was watching my DoorDash driver pull out of Starbucks, and they went all the way up to 12 Mile through the Universal Mall's lot, and they're doing all this zigzagging. And it was one of my regular drivers, and I said to him, John, you know, you having troubles driving this morning? He goes, yeah, it's showing me, like you say, zigzagging and going in different directions, driving off the road, driving through, like, the industrial, or not industrial, but the normal businesses that run up and down 12 Mile here, that they're, like, driving through the buildings. You know, they're not even on the road. And he said, yeah, it's something with the GPS in my phone. And I know, I don't know what kind of phone he has, whether it's an Android or an iPhone, but that was, like, about a month ago. And I heard that, and I've tracked that on my Android phone quite a few times in the last in the month of July. They were all over the place, zigzagging.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting with this thing, and it's this new iPhone. But it's I've never had that happen with my Android. In fact, I don't know how much I've used my other iPhone, because this is my work iPhone, which is a 17E or something like that. It's like the lowest level 17, and my personal one's a 16. I don't think I've ever noticed it with mine, so there could be something wrong with the phone. I don't know. Ah, well. It's just an annoyance and pencil sometime when it's doing that, right when it gets to the critical part of a drive. Then it'll be less of an annoyance, more of a me throwing stuff.
Well, obviously, DoorDash drives from Starbucks or Marco's Pizza, they're practically side by side in the same building. It takes them a while. It won't take them long to get here, so I'm usually downstairs in the lobby. But when they're coming from 12 and John R. or 10 and DeQuinder, I can stay up in my apartment until I see them actually leave that area and track them and head downstairs and be there when they pull up. But those few times last month, like I said, they were just like, what the heck's going on with this thing? So not only am I tracking them with these problems, but they're also having problems as well. And one driver who did not know where I was actually drove right past the campus where he would turn in. And I'm watching him, and he's like, what the heck? And he only probably maybe got about as far as the hospital south and turned around, and he apologized. And he says, my GPS was going haywire. I said, yeah, I saw that you overshot the runway, and you missed it, but I see that, you know, you were tracking all over the place as well, so there's something wrong in the system. And we just actually contributed it to a problem with DoorDash more than maybe the normal GPS, you know, in the area kind of a thing.
Now, do all the DoorDashers have that enabled?
Yeah, that would be convenient, but is that optional, or do they all do that?
It gives the driver who doesn't know the area a point A to point B direct route to me. Whether it's, I don't think I go more than a mile and a half outside of where I'm at. So all the businesses that I hit, well, no, Potbelly's is at 12 and Mound. It's actually at like 12 and a half and Mound, the north end of that major complex out there at 12 and Mound where Meijer is and all that. Potbelly's is about the furthest place. So for them to come from there to here, they may not know how to get here, and it just plots for them a direct route, point A to point B. They follow their tracker, and I follow them as they're tracking. And so like I say, I can be at the front door because I don't make them come up here and deliver. It would take them forever to get through the security door and take the hike up here, and you're fully aware of the hike.
So they all do it then, is what I'm gathering?
Yes, you are correct. Sorry, I ramble a lot.
All right, well, that's a cool feature, you know, especially when you got something like food. See if your food's driving all over Hell's Half Acre. And I wonder if, I didn't see that option with the, I did Uber and Lyft for the first time ever. I did an Uber on Monday morning to get from my house to the rental car place at 14 and John R. And that was like $15. And then I did a Lyft from the motel at the airport in Albany to the car dealer. That was a $47 ride. Like, holy moly.
Uber Lyft from here to 13 and John R. Enterprise, just north of the big boy there, just before you get to 13. Most I've ever paid is like $10. The furthest out I go on a Uber would probably been 9 Mile in John R. area, just north of 9 Mile. That's where my dental office is, and where I'm getting all this dental work done, which phase 3 starts at the end of this month. And phase 3 of 4, so I'll have dental appointments now between now and the end of the year again. But yeah, my Uber for that is about 15 each way, and that's with a senior citizen discount, and what's the other discount I have? I have a corporate thing that I use because I use it for metro cars and things like that. because I take a metro car to get to the airport in Pontiac when I have to fly out for a race. But it's some other kind of a senior discount that's applied to both of those companies that I get to have as well. It's a little perk thing.
What is metro cars? I've heard of it, but I have no idea.
Metro Cars started out in the late 70s as a limousine company known as Statewide Limousine, and they took over the market at Metro Airport, and a lot of court battles. They were kicking out cab companies, limousine companies, things like that. But they built themselves a pretty good empire in Detroit, Florida, and a couple other states, and they provide ground transportation for, you know, let's say you and your wife were to fly to Florida and you didn't want to take your car and park it, you can call Metro Cars and they'll send out a vehicle to pick you up and will handle your luggage and so on and so forth. And I think a one-way right now is what they call an airport transfer based on how far out you are. And I've done it in St. Clair Shores, so you're not too far of a distance from where you are, from where I was in St. Clair Shores, and it's about $75 each way.
Gotcha. All right, I got to run and grab my wallet. Right back.
WARCY, standing by.
Okay, should be able to get to work reasonably close on time still.
Well, if you swing by, I'll have a note for Epstein, from Epstein's mom for you that you can give to the guys, you know, and saying, you know, Sean had a small faux pas this morning and he had to turn around and come back home and so on and so forth, so I'll write you a note.
Hey, look, Craig's opening soon.
So they haven't changed the sign in the last half hour, 45 minutes, you're saying?
That's right. Anywho, let me do the GPS, see if it can tell me how long it's going to take me to get to work. All right. Says I'll be there at 7:35, 5 minutes late.
Is that time adjusted for coffee?
Negative. But I have boss's hours. There's technically no such thing as late.
Well, I believe you have one person above you, but so you're technically the boss on site. So, you know, yeah, you get those boss's privileges. So, in my opinion, you could still stop for coffee.
Oh, I can, and I will. But, yeah, it's a little different. It's not quite a boss dynamic. There's a director, you know, who deals with things that are in the administrative, you know, some takes a lot of the going before the board kind of stuff off my plate and sets some very large and sweeping objectives, but has virtually zero to do with operations. So operations is all me. So he would have no interest in my comings and goings. Unless I was never coming, then he would probably say, hey, where you been?
Yeah, I just remember, like, back when we first met, you mentioned you went through the chain of command or something like that with me once, and so on and so forth. But, But like, you know, today, I'll let you get your day going and so on and so forth. I was up early. Like I said, I was talking with Mike this morning, trying to get his routine back. He's only been back to work for a couple weeks now, because he was off work from his incident in August, where he was struck during an arrest by the pursuer that he was after, and got pinned between that person's SUV and his patrol vehicle. And between that and his personal family leave, he was off almost a full year, just a couple weeks shy of a full year. So when I was up at 4:15 this morning, I was calling out to him, and he finally responded. And I said, "Oh, so you must have Monday and Tuesday off now." And he goes, "Yeah." And he does not. He prefers to work weekends, so his days off for his work and everything else is either Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, Friday. So, yep. So our morning communications, if I'm up that early, I'm going to start up again at 4:30. He knows I usually don't get up till 5, but yeah. So things are getting back to normal in that world of radio comm.
Yeah, like I was telling you, he and I had a good chat, and I was not completely aware of his, the home front stuff, and he gave me the rundown, and needless to say, I was both shocked and just heartbreaking. But enough on that. I just, he gave me the whole rundown. And,
yeah, and I'm doing my best to, keep him positive and keep him going and everything else. Yeah, there's a lot there going on for sure, but he's a tough cookie for sure, and I do give credit where credit's due, and so I'm saying, you just hope for the best.
Almost got cut off by a student driver. So, looks like they're definitely on a road test of sorts. They're doing fine. They just kind of cut a corner kind of odd.
So how comfortable and how nimble is your new whip for work, or your used new whip?
Oh, it's neither. I mean, it's not uncomfortable, but it's definitely not nimble. It's quick enough, but it's got a monster engine in it. It's a million miles long, and rubber floor mat. It's we call it the water buffalo. So we bought it for when there's 3 foot of snow and we got to get to one of our remote tower sites, or we got to pull a 6,000-pound trailer, 7,000-pound trailer. That's what the beast is for.
So next year when you do a trip to, I believe it's Muskegon, for one of those conventions, that is not going to be a very comfortable ride, I'm sure.
No, I drive this just about anywhere, and I have driven this. I think I took this to Muskegon last year, because my little car doesn't have enough range to get there and back. So I took this thing because this thing has more than enough. So, I'd take this in a heartbeat. No problem there.
Ah, okay. I remember you had another vehicle one time, because I think you were either picking up or dropping off radios to me, and it was, as you were pulling in and I was outside, he says, you got to guess what I'm driving, and it was more like a pickup truck or something, and maybe it wasn't even a pickup truck, just a different vehicle altogether, but it wasn't an Expedition. It was like something in between a pickup truck and that big beast.
I don't know. I mean, we have, I've got my escape, and then I had my work escape, and now this. And I can't think of anything else it would have been. So, because at work, all we got are big 3-quart-ton vans. And I know it wasn't one of those. So, no clue.
Well, my project then for today will be to try to remember what it was for sure. I got construction crews coming in today to do some more work on this ceiling and wall work. They did some inside waterproofing and some mudding in the ceiling area, and now they got to redo the inside of the door wall framing. So there'll be a couple guys in here. They should be here about 9:30, they said, when they left on Monday. So, yep, that's finally getting done. And then hopefully by the end of this year, I'll have new carpeting put in, and then I should be good for another 10 years or so, or till I kick the bucket, because I don't plan on moving. So we'll see what happens there with all of that. But, my living room is totally discombobulated. All my electronics are in my bedroom, lined up on my windowsill. The big box radio, my mobile unit that's power supply, that's completely dismantled right now. And when that all goes back up, so will the new antenna system, hopefully, if I can get that done by the end of the year. And that's about it for projects here. Just a quiet morning, drinking plain old boring black coffee and trying to wake up.
All right, let me let you get to that because I got to make a phone call. I don't know, I'm going to be a little behind schedule. So, might be back in here in a few. Then again, not far from Big Apple. Might just go there and get a breakfast sandwich. Who knows? All right, I'll be back in a few. WNFU.
Okay, well, I'll be listening, and if you go to the Big Apple and get a bagel, you deserve it. You deserve it. I mean, you know, that'll cheer you up after having to go back home. You need that kind of a pick-me-up or a boost of positive energy. And another thing is you got a very, 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 very short work week. So that's another thing. Before you know it, it'll be Friday. W8RCY.
I will say this. I'm at Freedom Hill. W8RCY.
And I'll say I'll be at Freedom Hill, I believe, on August 19th for a concert.
Connected to CMN Network.
All righty, coffee in hand. Closing in on last mile. Looks like I'll be 10 minutes late. Oh, well.
You are allowed to have those moments. Definitely, for sure. So I will let you, when you jumped out, you may not have heard me say, one positive thing for certain is it is definitely a short work week for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yep, yep. So today I got an appointment at Secretary of State at quitting time. So I'll go straight over and get the hopefully get the title all transferred. I think I'm going to wait on the plate and do that. I got, I think, 30 days with the temporary tag on the new car. And so that way I can keep the plate on the old one and still run it around or test drive it or whatever.
once I get that, then I'll feel a lot better, and then I'll have at least a day to catch my breath, and then starts this whole dream cruise detail thing. So, I got a packed weekend again, so I'm not going to have much time to catch my breath.
Hey, okay, hey, well, I will leave you to your compact week, and yeah, the dream cruise is this weekend. Hope everything goes well with that and the program and everything else with the RPSC. And on a final note, I'm not going to send it to you today, but I'm going to send you a tidbit of information between now and Saturday. I won't call you or anything like that because I know how busy you are on your first days back, like how Mondays are. This is going to be like a Monday for you. But it's easier for me to text you than it is to call you, just like it is with Mike. Mike text messages with Michael all the way back to when Ava was born, and I have yet to erase any of those out of my messaging center in my phone. But, so I'll get back to you later on this week. All right, have a great day. All the best, and I hope you remember everybody's names at the office, because it's been a few days. W-8-R-C-Y.
Go ahead, Tom. Yeah, you get 30 days with a temp tag. Once you get it registered with SOS. That's how I did my car. You can run around with that. Or I thought you're gonna, are you selling your other one or trading it back in since it was a lease?
No, it was a purchase. It wasn't a lease. And I'm gonna sell it. Mine should be, top dollar of cars in its class because it's got super low mileage and it's got a factory warranty still for 2 years. All that stuff is, puts mine in the upper end. So I'm going to list it. I'm going to take it, at a couple of places and let them give me an offer, but the offers I've had so far are like 19-something, and I think that I can easily get 23 out of it. So I'm going to private sale it.
If I doubled with Tom, I'm sorry.
I think I doubled with you, Don. Good morning, by the way. And yeah, 20, easily 22. I mean, if you put it up for sale by owner, you should get it. I know that, of course, the dealership's going to give you, less, so they can make a profit off of it.
I'll take it. And your current Escape does have that convenience hole in the center of the roof. For a radio operator, that's got to be worth at least $1,000 right there in your pocket.
Yeah, I haven't debated whether I'm going to charge extra for that or not. All right, anyhow, guys, I'm at work. I'll be back on in line inside shortly.
And I got perfect timing for that because I got to get fuel now. KKKGO, I'll be back on in a minute.
I'm out of here. I got to jump in the shower. I got people coming over to work on my door wall, Tom. So we'll catch everybody later. W-A-R-C-Y.
W-A-R-C-Y Mobile. Good morning, Walter. I'm getting fuel, so I got a minute.
Morning, Mr. Tom. What's up? Heading towards the storage unit to go get my son the jet ski because he's doing some charity thing today out on the lake. So, and the weather is like unstable today, so I hope they're going to be okay.
But give him the storage key to get the wave runner out to do a lake thing.
plan. Leaving the subdivision now. You know where it's at, the storage unit. I just like to rent it as a storage unit. I've had it for a long time. I'm for 26 in Cutter Line. If you really stop to think about it, going to build a storage building somewhere, and I never do.
Well, there's property in Memphis that is where you can put one at. I'm sure the taxes aren't that expensive, and, you know, I know people on the commission. KKKJO.
Yeah, I want something around here. I want it within 3-4 miles, maybe 5 at the most. So, you know, Capsco would be okay. Ray, nah, maybe not. Probably Capsco or Lennox, not Lennox, Capsco or Ira. Or Macomb, you know, somewhere in that area. I'll find a place. I just gotta get off my lazy butt and do it. For what I pay for rent, I probably had this thing paid for by now. My buddy's got one. He's got it alarmed, camera'd, everything else like that. It's just amazing what you could do with cameras and wires, cellular wireless lately.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can even, like, one of the office buildings around 26, I think there's open space. Doesn't necessarily have to be a business. It can be a, you know, you can use it as a storage. I see it all the time.
Yeah, we shall call it a toy barn. Let's get one that's like 160 feet tall. We can put an antenna on top of it, too. County Line, heading east.
Sounds like fun. I'll be right back. I didn't print my receipt and I need it. I'll be right back. KCKJO.
Alright, I might be out of here by then. If not, I'll call you back in a little bit when I get done helping him grab this thing, because I'm sure it's buried in the back.
Sounds good. Chat soon. 7-3. KCKJO.
Gotta be ready to be.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Any VDZ mobile?
KCKJO.
Tom, how you doing this morning?
Good, sir. Are you out and about doing your out and abouting?
Yeah, I'm over on Woodward, just right about 12 mile right now. Just got my new radio, testing the programming, making sure it's working. So I'm happy to say that I have a working radio. All right.
What did you end up installing?
I bought a Bofang DM, I forget what it is now, DM33, maybe? And it's not, I'm driving, so I can't pick up the radio right now and look at what's written on it. But it's the Bofang that has UHF, VHF, and DMR on it. And so, yep, that's what I got.
Ah, yes, the UVDM32. Yeah, it's a nice, nice HD for the, you know, good bang for the buck. It does pretty decent. You know, you got the VHF and UHF DMR option on it. So, I mean, I like it. I keep it in my van. You know, of course, I got my Motorola too.
Yeah, I was looking for something that had, you know, I got a couple of radios that are VHF and DMR, but, you know, I mean, the, you know, our repeaters, you know, not on it. I can't get 2 meter on the stinking radios. So I wanted something to add all three. And I really wanted the, you know, I was looking at that Anytone also. But, you know, that's $300. I don't have $300 to throw into another radio. So for 45, I think I spent on the Bofang. And I have other Bofangs, and they've treated me well. So I'm hoping that this will treat me well too. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I got the Bofang DM-1701, which is similar to the DM-32. But the DM-32, you have to use their, you know, the Bofang software to program it, which is fine. But the DM-1701, I got that set up as OpenGV-77, and I got the TYT and the UV-380 and the Retevis 3TCS or whatever it is. And they're all pretty decent. I got a TYT MB9600 that does VHF DMR also, but that's my coworker is using that one. So I'm looking at purchasing another one. So I have VHF DMR as well.
Lots of toys, lots of toys. Toys are fun.
Yeah, that's the thing. I keep seeing them and I keep buying them. And Melissa just looks at me. She goes, really? Another one? I'm like, yeah, I can use this for this.
Yeah, I have more trouble justifying it than having to explain it, you know. You know, my wife doesn't harass me too much for, you know, spending a little here and spending a little there. If I spend $300-$400 as often as I spend the 20 and 30s, then she'd probably have something to say. But it's more me not wanting to spend the money. So, yep, I just get a little here and a little there and, you know, having fun building antennas. I'm going to put a new antenna up today. Having trouble with my UHF, VHF dipole, and I think it's feed line, so I'm going to reposition that and put new feed line on it today, and hopefully that will resolve my base problems at home.
Yeah, speaking of antennas, I have a Yagi up in my attic. I think I showed you a picture of it. Right now I got vertical polarization on it. I could hit the UHF Simplex just fine, you know, down to Tim's house, you know, in Richmond. But for 146.520, I can't hit his house. So I was wondering if I put it as a horizontal polarization, if that would make a difference. KCKJ.
Well, if you're talking repeaters, probably not. Most repeaters are vertical. So, you know, the only way you're getting to him is if you bounce it. You know, then it gets to the repeater and you don't care about polarization. You don't care about polarization anymore. But if you're talking simplex, then well, he's got to be horizontal also. So, I don't know if that would help you much.
Yep, that helps a lot. It stays vertical. Yeah, because that's how I hit the MAC is, like I said, it's vertical polarization, like you said. That's the way the other antennas are vertical. So, all right, that's a good thing. Yeah, well, he has, I think, a comet off the back of his house. And I'm going through a thick of trees on VHF Simplex. I can hit UHF Simplex, which I know carries a little bit better than VHF. But when I do Simplex VHF, I can hear him, but he can't hear me. So I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah, I could definitely, I'll leave it vertical then. I did the right choice of making it that way then.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's also pretty common. I can hear, you know, often I can hear more than I can hit, you know, if their signal's stronger and better than yours, you're going to hear them. Your antenna will pick it up, but if you can't get to their antenna, then I can hear it. I have just pulled into my location, New York Bagel, getting breakfast, and so I will be clear after your close. Sir, good talk to you, Tom, 73 today. Have a good one.
All right, Mike, take it easy. Enjoy the day. Enjoy your bagel. I forgot to grab mine from home. And I'll be out and about. 73 for now. KCKU.
KB8CUZ. This is WACPM. Signal check.
Connected to CMN Network.
WACD.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
NAIAJ Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
W8PD, Cape here.
Connected to CMN Network.
Stay here for a second, Phil, while he's coming over. NAWRO.
Okay. Where is he?
All right. Now he's back on P25. Yeah, there you go. NAWRO.
Yeah, I got him on P25. Cape here.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8 SLC monitoring.
NAIAJ Mobile.
Kilo Bravo 8 Whiskey Tango Alpha. Partial Eclipse Starson 3-9, KDAW, Affordable Crypt. NAIAJ, Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
This is W8VIJ calling.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WATD Mobile.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KACAKJL.
What up, old man?
WADD.
Oh, on my way back to the hangar, grab my car to go do my meeting at 6:30. And nobody can get in the door until I get there.
What meeting are you doing? Your in-town meeting or work meeting?
Planning Commission.
I think you should plan for a YMCA with a swimming pool.
Be a lot better than a 60-unit condo complex.
Yupper. Government subsidies on top of that. Oh, can't say that.
No, we already have one of those. Trying to get my brother-in-law into one. No, it's this whole plot of land that's like 8 or 10 acres, and they want to put these big, huge condos there. And, you know, we told them, it says, yeah, you can build them if you, you know, conform to our ordinances. And they went to the ZBA and got denied the variances, and then it went to court, so we're just waiting on that aspect. Haven't heard anything more. I mean, if they comply with the ordinance and the court order, then yeah, build away. You know, it's just money, and it's money for the city. But, you know, they're kind of scoffing at it because they want to put these big, huge 30-foot high peaks and 130-foot long buildings when the code says no more than 120.
Good luck with that. You never know how that stuff's going to go anymore. Used to be in the old days, what it was, it is, blah, blah, blah. Now they just tie you up with court and so darn much money you don't know what to do anymore. So I get it. All right, sir, I got to step out home for a little bit, and then I got to take the grandkid to the dentist while he's out doing some fundraiser thing, and mommy's got to go to work. And I said I would take the kid to the dentist. So that's what I'm going to do. Talk to you later. WATD.
Have fun getting their smiles bright. All right, chat later. I'll be out about KJO.
This is Kilo 5.8 called Sierra Delta listening.
Good afternoon, Chris. How is your day going?
Good to hear from you, CJO. I just got off of work at school around this time, and I'm heading home right now. I'm just wondering, I do need to talk to you in the back. Because my work came in a little later than I thought they would, so I couldn't do as much as I wanted to yesterday. But that sounds like a big step problem for tomorrow. How about you? How's your day been so far?
Just finishing up a one job here with some programming and trying to get a couple things taken care of. I'm heading home so I can throw some food down in my gullet and then turn around and go to City Hall and get my meeting started.
Sounds like you're having a really fun day so far. Very productive. I was going to say I might be receiving some interference on my end over here too. Let me know if I ever sound a little too staticky, and I can try to find a different position over here. But from what I can hear, you're sounding wonderful, minus the local interference I'm receiving.
Yeah, you are getting a little staticky. Are you on an HT or a mobile?
I am on an HT over here in a vehicle. Now, the vehicle itself isn't the problem. I think it's just the distance from the repeater, and there's a lot of big metal trucks around me right now.
Well, that sounds like a joy and a half.
Yep, and it's not like those semi-trucks. It's like the big dumpster container trucks that I'm surrounded by right now. That level line of travel over here on 8 Mile and a lot of power lines, too, so I'm sure it's a mix of everything put together. I might consider getting an exterior antenna just for fun. I'm sure that'll solve some of the problems I'm having with the HD inside the vehicle. But overall, it works pretty decently, especially on digital mode.
Oh, yeah, you just got to get an external with the BNC that you can twist onto the HD. And then you'll be clear as a bell. And that's how I did it.
Now, I've always wanted to get into the DIY antenna space, too. And from what I hear, all you really need is one of those BNC analyzers for like $50 on Amazon. And from there, you can test out DIY antennas, make sure they're safe to use, and make sure they're on the right frequency you want to use them on, too. So, yeah, that's probably what one thing I'll do once I save up over here. The college semester's starting up, so, yep, a little bit toast over there.
Yeah, those nano VNAs, they aren't that expensive, I think. They're like $50. I do not have one, because I don't build my own antennas. I'm lazy, and I just buy them.
Yep, those are the ones I'm talking about. Right now, I'm also using, like, the Amazon handheld antennas, mostly Abardine. The one I have right now is one of those, they call it a tactical antenna, but it's just the one that folds up, and it's a 19-incher. And I'm using one of those BNC connectors to easily take it on and off my radio. The radio I'm using right now, it doesn't have the best port access, so with this particular antenna, I need that extra extension provided by the adapter. Although it does make it a lot more susceptible to interference in the vehicle, since it's a much higher gain antenna than the tiny rubber duckies.
What kind of fancy schmancy Bowfang are you running?
Yes, I know it's Bowfang, but I am using the CM32UV. And I like it because it also does the digital mode, which for computing is absolutely perfect, since you have much better data integrity. However, when it comes to just basically, if I want to type in just a random repeater in, there's a lot of steps to do in order to make that happen, which is one thing I don't like about it. But it does have some fancy schmancy scanning systems and all the good stuff that you want in a radio handheld.
Oh, I agree. I have one sitting in my work van right now, charging. The UV DM32. Yep, got one of those, and I got a DM1701 as well.
I mean, the learning curves for these handhelds are a lot steeper than with other more cheaper handhelds that Bowfang offers, but it's still really fun. I really enjoy it. I think it's just the learning experience that I really like, plus the digital modes that it offers.
Sorry, I'm eating trail mix. So, trying to chew down the M&M. Oh, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. A lot of the guys are getting it, you know, a lot of the operators, because it's, you know, it's a decent radio. You know, I do have to say that. It's a Bowfang, but still, it's a pretty decent radio.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And for especially for new games, too. Well, even if it's just GMRS. At that point, there's some road rage going on in front of me right now, but that's okay. Like, it's really good for the average person to get started in.
KFA-FQN.
Oh, I wonder who that is. Jeez, I haven't heard that voice for a while. KCAK Joan. I'll throw it over to you in a second, Wyatt. Yeah, Chris, like I said, the DM, the UVDM32 is a nice starter HT UHF, VHF digital, by far. I'm going to throw it over to Wyatt, and then he'll throw it over to Chris, and then you can bring him back around from there.
I wanted to say, you can get a, it's called a Quenching UV K5, maybe. They're cheaper, too. They're $27, and it's like the, it's a really, like, how do you say, like, you can mod the radio really easily. It's like, the whole company kind of, like, supports that whole, like modding this radio and stuff. It's kind of, like, how it gets sold or something. Anyways, though, you can buy them on Amazon for, $27, and, they're easy to, modify, you can, like, they're easy to flash, custom, firmware on, they have a huge modding community behind it and stuff, and that's a thing you should, look into. I have one, I kind of bricked it in accident because, I installed it the wrong firmware, it's easy to fix. It's already, it's already kind of fixed. Anyways, though, if you ever want to do some modding stuff, get some experience, taking apart radios and soldering, that's another big thing. You can get that radio. I'm
going to
head over to you, Chris.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you this afternoon, Wyatt. Yes, I have heard of the Quenching K5. I don't own one yet, but I did also hear that it is very moddable, too. If I'm not mistaken, when it circles back, I think it does. You can mod a spectrogram analyzer, too, so you can see the spectrum, but I might be mistaken. I do have the Baofeng K5 Plus, although that is not nearly similar to the Quenching one, other than the transmit range and power. Definitely not as moddable. But I'd say that's a pretty decent tri-band handheld, 10 watts. It has the same batteries as the UV5RM, so you do have a lot of aftermarket battery support. I think that's why I got it, mainly because I could get the extended battery pack for it fairly easily. All right, KJO, I'm going to toss this hot potato over to you. And nice to meet you, Wyatt.
WATPT.
Captain Don. Good afternoon, sir. Passed by your house the other day, but there were a whole load of vehicles in the driveway, so I'm like, he has visitors. But, Wyatt, how's that Anytown, what is it, the 578 I got you? Is that still working okay? When it comes back around to you? So I'm going to push it over to Captain Don, and then throw it over to Wyatt. KCKGO.
Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, that was probably good that you kept driving that day. But family gathering kind of thing. But, yeah, anytime, stop by if I'm outside, for sure, for sure. And Wyatt, did you talk to any astronauts yet? And hello, Chris. Don't know if I've talked to you before. I probably have, and I just don't remember off the top of my head. But hello, and I will pass it over to Wyatt. WTPT.
Not yet. I don't have a Yagi yet. I was going to buy one, but then I realized I'm broke. I kind of spent, I had $50. It's sadly still not enough. Well, I could have made my own Yagi, but, I mean, I could barely modify a Quenching, so, not doing that. And plus, honestly, I don't think I have a seatbelt right now. Anyways, no, not yet. I've been recording some telemetry from satellites on my SDR. Also, Tom, my Anytown, my 68, it's all programmed and everything, and it's working just fine still. I actually need to reprogram it because I added some, I added a zone, and it had, like, these, I was going to do something with these, frequencies, like, it's for my airsoft game or something, but honestly, I'm just going to use, normal analog for it, so I'm just going to, change that up. But yeah, it's working fine for me, and, I wanted to say this, I got, 4 new radios. I got a, Baofeng K-63, 2 UV-5Rs, and, yeah, the next one thing. Anyways, I'm going to head over to you, Chris.
This is Chris. Sounds like we have quite the crew over here. Well, I am getting close to my destination over here, too, so I might not be able to circle around again, too, but it's nice to meet you, Captain Don, I believe it was. I'm sure we have talked with each other before, although I don't really recall the name or the call sign yet. Wyatt, it was a pleasure to chat with you, too, and I'm super thankful for your input on the Quan Chain K5+, and Mr. Cujo, thank you so much for responding. I hope you have a wonderful evening today. Yep, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Sierra Delta over here. Chris from Royal Oak. I'll be clear for now, but listening. Take care, guys.
It's a madhouse.
Yes, yes it is. And it's only Wednesday. Hello, Sean. Don's out there too, and Wyatt. Casey, a kid, Joe. Don, pick it up and then throw it to Sean.
Hey, Sean, how's it going? You said something about handles, didn't you? I literally was going through my head as I dropped in. I'm like, all right. But anyway, how you been, Sean? And am I passing it to him or Wyatt? I guess whoever keys up, I forgot what you said. Go ahead, Sean, since you're new, and then you can pass it to Wyatt.
Yeah, just jumping out here. Have to go to the Secretary of State and do a little bit net. Now I'm on my way home. I thought I'd chime in. I don't know what the topic of conversation is, but I heard, I think it was Chris from Royal Oak, not real sure. I think he said something about quite a gang here, and I thought, Annie M, it's a twister. Anywho, I'll listen around, and when it comes back, maybe I'll have something intelligent to say. Wyatt, go ahead, pick it up. W-A-F-U.
Hey, Sean. Oh, by the way, hey, Tom. I think you seen the how I said, like, I got the signal stick. I got a problem with it, though. It's not performing as good as the, rubber duck antenna that came with my, Baofeng K63. I checked everything. I checked the SMA, connector and everything, and it's all fine. But it's just not receiving in, as well as, my, rubber duck. So, do you know anything that might be, stopping it from performing, at its best? Over you, Tom.
Oh, I love station identification. Beep, beep, beep. No, Sean, we were talking about different, the Baofengs and the Quan Chains and the Ching Chongs and the Ding Dongs kind of radios and stuff like that, and the antennas that you can get for them. That's about it, just general conversation kind of thing. How's the new ride doing?
Well, I drove it home a little bit after I heard you yesterday. And I haven't been in it since, but I got a phone call here I got to make. I didn't realize it. Carol will drive. I'll be back in a few minutes. Let me send it over to Don. And Don, good hearing you. It's been a while. I'll be listening. I'll be back, but I got to finish this phone call here. I'll be in a few.
All right, yeah, it's been a while. I don't drive around enough. I'm too busy on the farm and all that stuff. But anyway, hey, Wyatt, you can make a tape measure antenna, and then Eric, WDAP, he was telling me it's like a $19 delta loop kind of an antenna that you could screw onto an HD. He's been making contacts with that and hearing pretty good with that. I'll find it and I'll see if I can email it to you just in case you're interested. You don't necessarily need a Yagi to do it. that Quan Shen, that is a fun little radio. I've got like two versions of it. I think it might even have been able to do HF with one of the mods, but I can't fully remember if that was the radio or not. And I think I'm passing it to Wyatt because Sean took a break. So go ahead, Wyatt.
Yeah, you gotta know what antenna you're talking about. When I was over at, that's horrible, I forgot. It's, the AWRL, field band, there we go. I think I've seen, one of those loop antennas hooked up to an HD. And that was handmade. Mostly where you put in parts and then some wire, obviously. But if it's $19, then I'll take it. And yeah, that'll be, awesome for you to know me that, because, with my luck, I think I'll only be seeing, like, $50 ones. But that's really all I have. Over to you, Tom.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I still have my, arrow with the, duplexer. That's, sitting up in the closet upstairs. Because I've been, acquiring other radios. I got another Yaesu FTM-150 with a Mars mod on it. And then, of course, working on my car and trying to turn off the light bar except for the takedown lights and the orange strobes. So I'm working on that. And I've just been too busy. And sometimes when it passes over, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and at that time, you know, my happy derriere is curled up in a pillow. KCK Joe, over to W8CPT.
All right, yeah, we got to get you using that antenna and doing some satellite contacts. Actually, they start coming by in the morning right now, the ISS, and it's done by like 5 p.m., because I got my Star Trek rotor going again. My mini PC took a dump, and everything I had on it for my shack station was on it. So I got the Star Trek rotor and Fat PC 32 going on the laptop. And, usually by the time I wake up, I got about 3 passes right now, and it's done. So it's early morning into, like, afternoon right now. And stuck by a train. If you're anywhere near the area, there's a train heading northbound, I guess is what I call it. Go ahead, Wyatt. WHCPT.
You have a rotor, too. Lucky. I wonder how few people make them with Raspberry Pis and some stronger, bigger servos. But,
hey, Tom,
that arrow, is that a Yagi, I'm assuming?
Over to you. Yes, it's a dual band Yagi with a duplexer with a BNC connection, for an HT. And it's a handheld, so if you check out Captain Don's YouTube page, you'll see him, the one that he uses. For his ISS contacts, the identical one that I have. And they run a couple bills for it, so, you got to save up for it.
Yep, it's definitely fun. I have more fun pointing that thing than with the rotor, because you can twist it for the polarization. A lot of times on the rotor that I have, it's a Star Trek rotor. You can still look them up. They're out of Australia. They were probably 3 or 4 bills. I don't remember, actually. but it works really well with that P32, but you got to keep it in one polarization. You can't spin it for the polarization. But I use the same antenna on that when I'm running that rotor. It works better for the linear satellites because I have more fun with the FM birds just pointing at it with the HD. Go ahead, Wyatt. WHCPT here.
All right, yeah, I just looked up Arrow antennas, and yeah, they're solid $200, 100 to 200. I have my, I set on this, it's on Amazon, because everything's on Amazon. It's a cheaper, yeah, it's $60, but it's dual band. I guess it's not on here. But that one, I think it, does it? I might need a SOS-239 to estimate female adapter, or maybe it just like natively comes with a normal SMA full SQ. Actually, it might come with a adapter cable already. But I'm planning to buy that. That's only $60. Over to you, Tom.
Well, I got mine as a Christmas present, so that's a long one. And then I got the right one through NADBF Dakota, and now I have the Tevis that he used to mess around with it. So I got the Tevis RT3S, and I got the antenna, and if it hasn't had a chance to get out there, you know, during the early morning. I'm lucky I get out of bed at, you know, 6 o'clock, Don, believe me. I was up at 6:30. I woke up at 6 o'clock, so no point back to bed till 6:30. You know, but eventually, I'll be able to stay up and catch it maybe on a later, you know, like on the evening one.
Oh, right, yeah, it does like a big circle, though, you know, through the time of the day, you know. Eventually it'll be starting at, like, midnight and going until 7 in the morning or 9 in the morning, so just keep an eye on it. It's in the evening a lot, too. And there's the peak of the Perseides meteor shower tonight, so if you weren't aware of that, if the skies are clear, look to the north and straight above you. With that said, I am where I am going, so I'm going to have to go clear. It was great talking to you guys, and I will catch you again. WCPT clear.
All right, I'm going to talk to you, Don, and you have a good rest of your day. Hey, Tom, I see this, I'm looking outside my window right now, and I see this, cumulus clouds rising, probably turning into a thunderstorm. I think the case is around 1,500 joules. But anyways, it has a, like on the rising top, it's got like a, this smaller, thinner cloud, like right above it. And it resembles a cirrus cloud, obviously it's not, but I thought that was pretty cool. It's almost like a shockwave.
Yeah, it's probably trying to push through the upper deck there, the atmosphere. If it pushes through, then starts formulating maybe a thunderstorm. We'll see. If it starts spreading out, then you know you got the anvil, and it turns into a supercell. Just keep an eye on it. KCKJO. I hate traffic.
W-A-R-I-T, I'll second that.
Yeah, I think it's, the cloud still there. I think it's flattening out, maybe, so. I wonder if there's a, I forgot what it's called. There was a resistance against it, like, overshooting against. I don't know the word for it, but, You know what I'm saying? Never mind. There's zero resistance. Anyways, yeah, there's two cumulus clouds rising pretty quick. And the Cape is 1,893. So that makes sense. I know we have a meso-scale discussion going on still. It ends in 1 hour. But all we can do is just wait. Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, I'm looking at 3:42 p.m., which is about a half hour ago. Doppler radar indicated cluster of strong thunderstorms extending from 6 miles east of Lakeport to 6 miles west of Port Huron. Movement goes east at 20 miles an hour. So that could be your little storm cluster that you see out there. W8RIT. Go ahead, Mr. Dave.
Well, hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. He was all out here. I think it's just Tom, you and I. Why do you know if we've had it before? Maybe not. If not, I seem to recall it, but my name is Dave. So I want to say welcome. And I've been listening a little bit on this, like, coming in from Toledo. And boy, yeah, Tom, I can see I certainly hate traffic. I'm sitting here on the 75 going slow, stop and go here. Still got one more bank job I gotta head to. That'll be done. Hopefully that won't be too bad. Yeah, I've been listening along and heard some pretty interesting conversations. And why don't you give me a favor on the next go around? The radio that you recommended to Chris, could you tell me what the manufacturer is again? Quizzing or something? I didn't quite catch it. So I'd like to know maybe if you could maybe spell it out so I can know how to Google it. And, well, we've been burning some hours, Tom, down in Toledo at Citizen Group. Still got a bit more to do, but the fun part for me to come tomorrow.
Boy, Dave, I don't think we've talked before. Maybe we have. Who knows? But that radio was a Quanchain, and that spell, I'm just going to say it phonetically, it's Quebec, Uniform, Alpha, November, Sierra, Hotel, Echo, November, Golf. And it's the Quanchain UVK5, and, yeah, you can upload a bunch of mods to it, or, like, reflash the firmware. I would say, though, there's two on Amazon. The one I bought was the board was a V2, so if you ever tried to do, like, the CW mod, the circuit layout's a little different, and it's a little harder to do because the firmware that the modding community for Quanchain, they basically do it by the different versions of the radio. So you have the V1 and V3. The V2 is just an upgraded processor, but it's a little different than the V3, and it's a little different than the V1, so, so there's, like, really no mods for it. No, obviously there might be something I did wrong or something, but they said install a mod for a V3, version of the, like, Quanchain, and, they bricked my radio, but I'm still trying to troubleshoot that. But I think there's one you can buy on Amazon. Just don't buy the black. This sounds so weird. Don't buy the black color. You gotta buy, like, a different color because apparently, they never, upgraded their different colors of radios. That sounds weird, but that's true, I guess. I'm gonna hand it over to you, Tom.
Does that Quanchain, does it do digital, Wyatt, when it comes back around to you? And Dave, what, you got rest of this week down in Toledo, then you're coming back up? KCKGO, go ahead,
Okay.
Well, we're just staying down there, just traveling back and forth, so a little extra overtime for the travel time, but not much. Yeah, it's probably going to take all week here. We're still going to pull our wires for a camera, and then long pull for access from basically the front of the warehouse all the way to the back. So that's going to be my task for tomorrow. So far this week, it's just been burning up hours. We've been figuring out some information. We got a panel for DMP that was a former one from Guardian, but we can't get into it. So we just have to get what info we can and then build a new one here. So that's what I've been doing today here, building a new programming panel here for the DMP here, combo panel. Yeah, we're trying to see if we can get in. I thought when we had our training, I thought the trainer had said that, well, we can't access dealer admin, but our company, Data, could. And they could do so and then maybe contact DMP to get a one-time code to let us in. But I think the agency just wants to totally rebuild it here and all that. And the other thing I heard about the satellite cop, we'd like to talk with, I think it's one, I've got his name down here, WACBT, Donald, I think is what it was. We'd like to talk with him to see if he did anything with the linear transponder satellites. So far, all I've done is a couple contacts on, I think it was AO51 and then the ISS. Talked with some local friends here. Hey, Tom, by the way, well, two things. First of all, I just saw someone pass by from Jeff's old nemesis. I think it used to be from A&B. So, the other thing I was going to ask you, do you by any chance happen to know another Tom that lives out nearby you, NHVI? I think he's out by, I'm not certain where he's at currently, but I think he was out by Richmond before, years or so ago. Just kind of curious if you've ever caught him locally or not, because I think he's out basically in your neck of the woods here. And then, I think that's probably a good idea there, too. Yeah, I've got one of the Aero dual-band antennas that Tom was referring to for satellite. Pretty nice, commercial built, but yeah, you could probably do like Donald had made mention, and then do something like the tape measure antenna. Just have to watch out, make sure you don't cut yourself on any sharp edges there, but that should be pretty darn cheap, and then pretty rugged, too, I guess. You'd be able to, let me pause here. You'd be able to pull it up and be easy to store it. Before I turn it up, I'll try to back over to you there, Wyatt.
W-A-R-I-T. Also, Tom, that like smaller cloud thing I've seen over that like not overshooting top, but that rising seamless cloud is called a pilot cloud, and it's basically it forms in a strong, rapidly arising updraft within a convection cloud, pushing a layer of moist, stable air above it higher into the atmosphere. As the upper layer is forced upward, it expands and cools rapidly to its dew point, condensing to a smooth, thin cloud layer draped over the top of the dome. And basically, those clouds indicate that the atmosphere is highly unstable, and the cloud is growing stronger, and then obviously that indicates a thunderstorm. So that's pretty cool, the more you know. Over to you, Tom.
You paid attention during Skywarn class, didn't you?
I think he taught it.
Well, Wyatt was in the Skywarn class with a lot of us from ARCSI and, other people. So he paid attention. I think he sucked it up like a sponge. So good job there, Wyatt. I can't wait till you turn 18 and can actually get out there and start helping spot, storms and stuff like that. It's a good thing. Let me throw it over to Dave, W-A-R-A-T, and he can toss it back over to you, Wyatt, for a response. KCJJ.
right, very good. Yeah, and then I didn't do mine this year. I needed a refresher, so. I think you can still do it online, too, anytime you want, but I don't think that's... I think I did that before just to do it just for reinforcement, but I don't think that's half as good as going to the in-person training. Well, maybe I'm not certain how old you are there, Wyatt, but maybe if you're not able to drive and get out and about to do any spotting as far as, you know, being portable or mobile, well, you can always run the net, be a Skywarn net, because I think you're up in Lapeer County, if I'm not mistaken, correct? So, yeah, you can do it from there. Anywho, Al, let me toss it back over to your wife, and say thanks for the tip. I'll take a look at that Quingsing. I've never heard of that radio before here, so... Take a look and see what that's like. I saw that Bayo thing had a new tri-bander out, 2 meter 220 and 440, as well as, I can't remember the name of the other manufacturers now, but I think they saw two other YouTubers for amateur radio, and they kind of gave me a review for a couple new radios that they got prior to release here for us yet. Some of them had HF on it, but I got a couple HTs with HF, and I don't really use the HT for HF reception anyways. One of the HTs that I saw that they did a review on was pretty interesting, because there were two additional loop antennas, IQ loop antennas that you can use, one for shortwave and then the other for the AM broadcast band. And I wouldn't mind getting one of those. They're very tight on the response, but, you know, high IQ, but they do very, very good here. Let's see here. Tom, let me toss it back to you here. I got to see about finding a gas station here before I run out here. W8RIT.
Tom, I didn't go to the in-person camp. I only did some online training. It wasn't like actual training. It was more of a video, to be honest. So yeah, I didn't do any Skywarn classes. Most of the stuff I just Google and add to chain and stuff. Also, Dave, my mom does drive me. I do some storm chasing. I have my own team called Team Vortex. Honestly, I've just been Googling it and stuff and reading stuff on websites to know most of the basics, like cumulonimbus Nimbus clouds, how to read the radar and stuff, how to read, what was it, Zoom from my weather wise, how to read velocity and reflectivity, and normalized rotation, that's another thing that I like. And then obviously satellite, you get to see overstream tops and cumulonimbus clouds dangling out. But I'll hand it over to you.
Well, I should get the Skywarn training under your belt. You can do it. My daughter's had hers since she was like 8. You know, just go to, NOAA.nws.gov or something like that, or just search for Skywarn classes online. And it gives you a whole bunch of information. It's really cool. It's about 2 hours long, but it's well worth it to always learn something new. And I think I heard somebody else in there. On the back side there. And I think it was Sean. I think he's back. KCKGO.
All right, now I'll pick it up here, but I'm probably going to make this my last year so I can slide into a gas station here. And, Wyatt, maybe you would. Tell me, what is this about Team Vortex? Is this like a local group that you do for Skywarn spotting, you know, do amateur radio, or what's this about with Team Vortex? Pretty cool name for it, though, I think. So let me me toss it back to you there, Wyatt, and then I'll leave you two here, and I'm going to probably stop in and grab some gas when I see some. That way I don't start yakking and drive past the gas station. Otherwise, I might have to do a little bit of some walking. anyways, over to you there, Wyatt. 7-3 to both of you gentlemen. Have a great afternoon. Maybe I'll jump back in if I can, but you guys might be where you're at. W-8-R-I-T, over to you, Wyatt.
So the team Vortex thing that obviously literally me, my mom and dad and stuff but I have M team, so I'll just report stuff to the National Weather Service, and then I have the Mission of Star Pieces app, and I can report stuff directly to them, and like take photos for them and stuff. But honestly, it's star pacing, so just getting in the car, and I'm making my own storm probes. I haven't even sketched out yet, but I have an idea. It's a storm probe powered by a Raspberry Pi with some weather sensors, temperature, pressure, humidity, and then a second waterproof ambient temperature probe, and then some. A wind sensor, you can say, an ultrasonic wind sensor, and put the camera on it, too. And then it'll have a aerodynamic aluminum body with spikes in it. But basically, it's regular storm chasing. But 7-3, it was nice talking to you, and you have a good rest of your day, Dave. Can't wait to ask you on Friday, and I'll hand it over to you, Tom.
Alright, now you've got me intrigued on that. You gotta take pictures and send it to me so I can check it out. Put it on Discord. But, same thing, I gotta see that thing that you're building. Sounds kinda neat.
Yeah, so it's kind of really... My radio, I keep on seeing an accident. Anyways, I can't afford it right now. The product's going to cost a solid, I'm going to say a solid $100 maybe. I already have the camera and everything, but I need to buy aluminum and then put off that glass, it's called. It's not actually glass, plexiglass or something. Plexiglass dome for my camera, and then all of the rest of the sensors, Raspberry Pi. But I actually need to sketch it out right now and do boot up this software I have for aerodynamics and stuff to see which is the most aerodynamic. And after that, I'm planning on making a remote control. Probe, you can say, it's a track vehicle. I already have the chassis for it. I'm planning on putting some deployable spikes on that, and then, I don't know what I'll use for the RC controller to, like, our robot, whatever. I'm thinking maybe using FPV controller, but who knows? Just an idea.
Well, as long as you got down on paper what you're looking for and start piecing it together, over time. Work hard there on the farm and however else you get your allowance and save up and save and buy it little pieces at a time. See if you could jump.
Hey, Fox Trotty, Echo Tango, Quebec, how's it going?
KKK Joe, and you got KFAFU on here as well. Go ahead, Karen, and then talk with Hawaii. KKK Joe.
But I have a lot of stuff I'm saving up for, so maybe I need to focus on one thing at a time. I'm currently saving up for pouches for my vest, and then some other things for my airsoft gear and stuff like that. But anyways, I gotta hop out. My football practice starts at 6, but around 4, I'm starting to get my stuff ready. I like getting early. But I'm gonna hand it over to you, Tom, and you can hand it over to Darren. 7-3 guys, and you have a good rest of your day. KFAFUN, break it up.
Alright, Wyatt, have fun. Don't forget to do your chores. Take care of the animal and old. 73 to you. Go ahead, Darren. KKK Joe.
I was just surprised to hear the repeater active at this time of the day. I didn't realize that you guys would be on here.
Oh, I keep it warm when I can. You know me. But give me a couple of minutes. I got to clear this run that I'm on and get it rescheduled. So I'll be back in a minute. Hey, KKK Joe.
WHRAT is returning. Anybody still here?
I have a KKK Joe. Eric, you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. Stop and get some gas and heading over to the bank and finish this up and wrap my day up here. So, I heard some conversation earlier today, and to repeat, I think you were working on some lights, and just want to know if you did any more mechanical work on your ride there.
No camera work, but I needed a crossover cable so I could get into the strobe circuit and disable the blues. And just leave and then change the rear blue to a red, because I think it's an RBW module, so that should be an issue there. And disable all the blues, and keep the alley lights and takedown lights and stuff like that all enabled, so if I'm in the dark, I can actually hit them all and light up the road in front of me.
You're able by programming to change the color of the lights?
No, by spending money.
Watch you there, Darren. And I should be able to, by what I'm reading, is I can change the strobe pattern, and if it's the module that's the RBW module, red, blue, white, I should be able to disable the red and the blue and leave just the white on it. And the backs are amber, so that should stay the same. That's what I got to figure out.
Okay, I was just dragging my feet in there. See, Darren, you can chime back in after my transmission here. Okay, that's kind of interesting, Tom. I was not aware of that. I didn't know that you could do anything like that. I thought that we all worked together simultaneously, so that's kind of nice, though. So it'll save you a little bit, and you can still use it here. And, well, crossover cable, I guess that's relatively easy. I'm sure you know how to do that. That won't be too bad. And, what is it, just like a controller? Is this like on the, inside the vehicle, or is this on the, hood compartment here to run for power for that.
Go ahead, Darren. I need to throw it over in the afterwards.
How's it going? I can't remember your name right now. RIT. How's it going?
Yeah, hi, Darren. It's Dave. No problem. Just need a refresher. I can be like that too at times. It's going okay. It's kind of not really Monday all over again, so I'm thankful for that. It's been, so far, a pretty easy work week here. A little bit of some effort.
effort I'll have to do tomorrow, but whatever. Nice and simple. Make up for what I haven't done this week so far here. Been kind of lollygagging a little bit. Well, not really, but we probably should have got more accomplished than we did, so I guess my work week hasn't been too bad here. And then there was some talk, I guess they were going to think about sending us out of state for another week, but I think that's going to fall through. They wanted us to do that on the weekend for Labor Day. I'm like, well, we kind of don't really want to mess up our Labor Day weekend just for this, because it's going to take an extra day just for traveling back and forth here for our plane fare and all that. But it'd be kind of nice to see what Montana's like. Don't think I'm going to take out any kind of HF radios, because I don't think I'll be able to really operate from the hotel very easily. I'm not going to have a dedicated vehicle ready to go. So I'll probably just grab a HT or so. It doesn't look like there's much GMR coverage out there, so we're kind of out in the middle of the state towards the Canadian border. And it doesn't look like there's really a whole lot around there. It looks like it's a small town we're going to be heading to, so. But I guess it'll be kind of nice to see what their geography's like. Kind of interesting, because I think there was a location nearby. I've never heard of this. I think it was a bison jump. So I don't know if that's where they would run the bison off a cliff or something to slaughter them or not, or I don't know. Get to see what that's all about. Well, Darren, let me see if you're there, and go ahead and pick it up, and then toss it over to Tom. W8RIT.
Yeah, what you're talking about with going on a trip and not bringing HF equipment, I understand that if you're worried about size constraint, that'd be a possible reasoning as to why. But I have in the bottom of one of my backpacks a small HF radio. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's enough that I can do FT8. So that's where I kind of just like, it's not that big of a size constraint. I think it's on to Tim, KJO, back to you. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Billy, Darren, Tim, oh, come on, Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, or Cujo, if that's easier. You got to go to Montana, Dave. And the bison jump, I've heard of that. No, they're not tipping them off a cliff. You know, it's almost, I think it's maybe like a rodeo or something like that. Or it's where the bison run, and you just stay out of their way. Buffalo will kill you. You know, but Google is a wonderful thing if you actually want to find out what it is. And I wouldn't mind going to Montana. I like to drive there. You know, I don't want to fly.
Yeah, Darren, you're kind of lucky, because I kind of wouldn't mind something like that, like you're talking about, the G90, I think is the model number. Something like that to throw in. Well, it's more or less just the fact that, like I say, I'm going to have a rented vehicle. I don't even know what kind. So I don't probably not going to have power ready to go, pretty easily. So operating out of a hotel room, I don't know. I don't think I'll be able to open the window up and drop a wire out for an antenna or anything like that. So have to maybe see what I can do out at the parking lot. But I don't know. I'm probably going to hold off on that because I have to take a power supply and or a battery or something like that. And then taking a battery when you're flying, yeah, we would have liked to. I think everybody would have liked to have driven out there. But, I think it's just the fact that it will take two people a day to do it, which is still taking us, a day to get out there regardless, just with the flight and everything. So, Montana, it'll be kind of nice state, I think, the one that I wouldn't mind seeing, just the geography. I hadn't been to Nebraska when I came back from Colorado, but That was about it, just a little bit up. I don't remember the freeway coming up out of Denver that joined up for I-80, but probably better than a lot of other states here, so I can say that. And then three of the other guys that I'm working with, they're going for a work trip up to Alaska. I'm not certain what city. Is it Fairbanks? I can't recall, but they're going up to Alaska for a week or so. So I think I'd rather prefer Montana myself. My ex-wife, at one point in time, that's where she wanted to go, to Alaska, to move. I'm like, Alaska? That's like the lowest on my list here. Anywho, Darren, I did see that somebody else, too, another ham radio YouTuber, I think, gave a review. I think there's a new, not a G90, but a new, how do you pronounce that model? Xaizu? I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but probably slaughtered it, but I think they came out with another newer model here. So how much did you pay for your G90, just out of curiosity? Is it maybe, you know, $300-$400 or so, or what?
No, I do not have a G90. It is the Zygu S6100, and that was between $300 and $600. But that one's, right now it's not operating fully. And the one that I have that is operating fully, that's in my bag right now, is a...
Okay. Now, I'm kind of buying that radio, or similar to it, but not so certain, so... Yeah, I still have to take, like, you know, a power supply, antenna tuner, you know, the radio itself, and coax and antenna, so I'm probably just going to hold off on that, because I don't know just how much operating I'll actually be able to do when I'm out there anytime with. So, probably just take along, I do something like that, VR.
Oh, Dave, you stomped all over Darren. He was explaining it and all of a sudden he just like crushed him like an ant. I want to try again. KCKJL.
I apologize, Darren. Go ahead and I'll listen this time. I thought you were done, so didn't mean to do that. But over to you, Darren.
Sorry.
KF80TQ, KCKJL. Go ahead, Darren.
I was just explaining the radio that I have from Zygu is the X6100. It is not the other one that you're talking about with the G90. So that's a difference. The new one that I heard that they're coming out with, it's like 100 watt or something like that. It's probably going to be good. At least it's not going to have the battery issue that mine had, so because it just doesn't have a battery to begin with. And SDR radio, or the radio I had in my bag, is a true SDR, and that is about the size of an HT. It doesn't have a battery though, so you need a separate battery. But yet again, it only transmits 5 watts, so it takes nothing to run that. Back to you guys.
Okay, Dave. Now you can ask them. I heard somebody else in there, so if they want to throw their call out. Go right ahead. KCKGO.
I think that's just my fan club. I've got a fan club. I think I know who it is, but whatever. Anyways, yeah, I wouldn't mind something like that to take along. I got to see if I'm putting together, but I probably won't have that done in time. Tuna topper, just a small QRP kit here, just 40 meters. Well, it's not even really 40 meters. I think it's really just, you know, a little wiggle room around the QRP calling frequency of 70-40. So if I add that together, I could take it out. Maybe I'll have to get my soldering iron out and spend an evening here. Shouldn't be too bad for that. not too complicated. I did some others in a weekend. Like I did my Aper's tiny track in a evening here. And when I finished putting it together, I was like, well, it's good that it's all together. It's working fine. No problem there. My soldering, looked pretty good. But now I want to take it apart and put it back together again, because that was part of the fun, putting it together. But, yeah, I've got a few others. So, excuse Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Alaska probably wouldn't be too bad either. Wouldn't mind seeing, like I was talking with Jay the other day,
mouth.
Go see some of the northern lights here. So that would be kind of nice to see as far as that goes from the higher altitude and everything here. So let's see here. I guess I'll toss it back over to you, Darren. Go ahead. W8RID.
Okay, I was following along for a little while, and then someone else jumped in. But, yeah, you mentioned about a QRP radio. That sounds like a fun project to solder together.
KCAKJO. Dave, how many hours is it to drive to Montana? I've driven to St. Louis, and I think it was, what, 10 hours I did? So we did it in a day. You can respond back after, well, whoever's next. You? All right, go ahead. I'll throw it over to Darren. Casey, could you?
Well, from taking a look at Google Maps, and I'm putting the address in for the city, it's, I think it was like 22 or 23 hours from my house. And we were kind of suggesting, yeah, we would just pair up and take one van out, and then just, you know, alternate driving or something like that. But the answer he got was, nope, don't think so, guys. So, I don't know if she was just considering the time, but it's really going to take about the same amount anyways, you know. For by the time we, you know, get our flight in, go get a rental vehicle, find out where our tools are going to be sent to, et cetera. Watch out for this guy in this trailer here. He's ready to cut the car up next to him. Anyways, so, yeah, she said, no, I think so, 23 hours. My sister and I had driven back from Denver, and it took us just over 24 hours. But at that time, we were, we had some very bad weather. It was a time when people in Denver were being concerned about the snowstorm approaching. So I'm like, you know what, if you guys are concerned about that, I'm taking heed. It's not like you guys are any strangers to snow. Same thing, too, like, you know, Buffalo. But, yeah, we were coming back driving through Iowa and, you know, up and down small hills. And there was probably a spot that we had driven in maybe 3 miles, and there must have been anywhere from 50 to 70 cars that were spun off on the road. So, yeah, it was a pretty bad ice storm that time. But I still would rather do that. You know, we'd rather have all of our tools, our parts with us, and all that ready to go. So we're going to be relying on the guy that we're there working with, I guess. So, and you know, then we're going to find out, you know, where our tools are going to be sent to and how are we going to get them, all this stuff. The funny thing is, Tom, we're going to be working at a FedEx out there. So seems like we'd just be able to ship it right to them, but who knows. I would much rather drive out, but I think she's pretty firm on that being no for the answer here. So that's going to kind of limit some radio activity there, not have my own van. Wow. over to you there, Darren.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I still think there's something that you could do with a small HF radio, kind of like what I mentioned with the True SDR, and maybe just a generic battery that you could, or not a battery, you could do a generic battery too, that would work too. Like a generic battery that you'd have for your cell phone or something like that. Yeah, because I always carry those with me anyways, and then you'd have to have a small antenna and a 20-meter antenna, dipole isn't that much space, so I see it as not that hard to do. Either way, back to Tom, I think, who's next.
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, did you ever get your new equipment, Darren, from the one that you let the magic smoke out on, or are you still saving up for that? What was it? Was that a linear amp that you blew up, or what was that? Comes back around to you, let me know. Okay.
Well, then I want to ask you too, Darren, for your FT you know, for any foreign, any DX, what are you getting as far as distance-wise? Like, what's your longest contact for FT8? I gotta go play around a bit some more with that myself here. I did a little bit some years ago and made some contacts. I don't know, 100 or 200, and then I kind of put the mode off to the side. So I gotta see about revisiting that myself here. Kind of nice, you know, because it's very, very popular here, and everybody's using it, so it's good chances of making some good contacts, whether it's stateside or DX. I kind of, when I first was licensed, there was a digital mode called PSK31, which was pretty popular, and I did some, but I probably should have done a lot more when it was popular, because right now nobody really uses it. Well, I shouldn't say that. I listened here and there, trying to see if I detected anyone using PSK, but it's been pretty rare. So, anyways, just kind of curious, you know, like where you're being able to be heard from with your FT8, your portable setup there. So, pass it back over to you, Garen. W8RIT.
Hi, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. I think I went into Japan once on the 10 meter band with 5 watts, maybe playing a Ben 10. I don't think it really was 10 though. Either way, then the other one that I know I've gotten into was Africa once. I don't consistently get into Europe, but and I think that's just because I don't have an ideal antenna with the ideal circumstances necessarily most of the time, because I think most of the time when I'm putting up the antenna, I don't get out all that far, just because I think I'm close enough to other noise or something else.
I heard a siren somewhere. Dave, I mean, you got a DMR radio. Why don't you just find the DMR talk groups out there in Montana and just program your AT for it, and that way at least you got DMR out there, and then of course then you got your local VHF, UHF analog. I mean, that DM32 holds like 8 billion frequencies and stuff.
That was the siren was from over here. I heard a cop coming and I didn't know where the heck the cop was, or the police, or whatever the heck it was, whether it was cop, police, or fire, or engine. Either way, yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. To answer the question, though, Tom, about the power amp, no, I have not fixed it, but I have opened it up, found out that it looks like it's one part that needs to get replaced, and that's about it. Back to whoever was next.
Okay, well, that's good that they weren't behind you. The police were behind you. I had it happen a couple of years back when I was working at Guardian. I was looking for a side street in Detroit, and I was driving down to the neighborhood, and there was a lot of police and fire activity down the side street, so I'm like, what the heck? So, I was driving the speed limit, trying to pay attention, and all of a sudden I had a fire truck behind me, wailing the siren. I'm like, where the heck did you come from? I was sitting there, being diligent as best I could, and he just popped up out of nowhere, right behind me, scared the bejesus out of me. So anyways, hopefully that won't be too bad of a part that to be fixed here, if you find something compatible or the replacement for it. Is it an electrical component you're looking for the replacement on this, or is it, a module or something like that? I'm just wondering if you've been able to locate, being able to purchase the replacement piece for it. And hey, when that happened.
It was manufactured around the COVID time period. So, yes, that part exists. Yes, you can buy it. You can just buy it off of DigiKey. It doesn't seem like it's that hard to buy from what I've been able to see. I can buy it, I think it's for all of a buck or two, and then the part on the radio itself is all of a buck or two also. So I think I'm going to order those and see if I can get one of my buddies over here to replace it, because they know how to replace SMD electronics, and I just can't touch that myself right now. Back to, I believe, Tom.
So what'd you pop, Baron? A transistor or a capacitor?
A variety or a version of a transistor of some sort. I think it's a P-channel MOSFET. I could be wrong.
Okay. The other thing I might want to suggest is take a look at some form of a heat sink for it. Might have gotten hot and opened up from the heat. Had that happen with some radios too of mine for the final going bad. And I don't know if it would make the inspection here, Tom. I'm trying to think what the heck it was here. Anyways, toss it back over to you, Tom. But yeah, that's something I'd maybe take a look at there. Darren, maybe see about a heat sink for dissipating some of the heat for the transistor, and that might help alleviate the problem in the future if you have this happen again. Tesla B, I haven't done any. I would like to see about practicing myself, but yeah, practice is the word there. I probably have to find, you know, some crap PC board, you know, doesn't, you know, no value, and try to use that. Tom, over to you. W8RT.
Now, they have all kinds of different materials. They have copper, they have aluminum, they have tin. You know, I want to know, what is your favorite kind of heat sink? What material do you like to use?
Well, Darren, is it a flat transistor on a heat sink, or is it a PNP type?
It is a transistor on an 6-pin IC looking device, so that's, but there, I believe, should be two of them on that integrated circuit device. And to answer the question about it, I think what happened is there is an undocumented 12-volt line that sparked to something else that eventually brought it back to ground, and that's where the smoke came out, or that's why the smoke came out. Let's word it that way. I'm not necessarily, it was a cable that I made that didn't have all the wires covered up, so the 12-volt one sparked to something. But at the end of the day, that data sheet never said that there was a 12-volt connector there at all. So that's where I kind of just didn't realize that there was 12 volts of unregulated current, because everything else on there, it doesn't have current drawing capacity at all. So I thought I'd be safe, but I guess I'm wrong.
Be full to Steve Urkel and said, oops, did I do that?
Yeah, I've done that too myself. Let the magic smoke out. One of my radios, I want to make sure it wasn't doubling. Hold on a minute. Got a subcontractor. I showed up on my spot here. I got a subcontractor wanting to talk to me, so hold on. I'll be right back. W8RT.
Okay, Jill. So, Darren, are you able to desolder that component off the PCB and then solder a new one on? Is that what your intentions are, from what it sounds like?
The intentions are to have my coworker desolder it and resolder it. But yes, that's the general idea of desoldering and resoldering. I'm going to buy the part because I can just, it's not expensive. It's going to be a different brand part than the original part, but that'll be about it, I think. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango, Quebec, back to you.
So what, you did not cover a ground? Is that what happened? Or what part did you put in there or connect to that it shorted at the ground and made the DC jump to ground? I don't know exactly what you did, unless it was you just had a, hold on, I'm turning left here, unless you just had a high SWR return off of the antenna because of it.
Nope, off the back of the minigun connector, there is a 12-volt pin that is connected through a diode to the 12-volt line, and that line apparently exists in the schematic, but not in the documentation. There's no, that's where it had let the smoke out from. So it's within that circuitry, particularly with the power switch, I believe. Back to you.
So was this a pin connector that you made, or this was inside the radio and it was just faulty?
It was a connector that I had attempted to make. Clearly I didn't make it well enough if the smoke came out.
Well, you live and learn, and always pay attention to your schematics. It may not be documented, but always, the schematic never lies.
I'm with you. The schematic almost never lies, but the schematic I found after I was reading through the documentation, so I didn't think to look through the schematic because I found it after the smoke had come out, so it wasn't useful looking at the schematic afterwards. So, yeah, I should have not trusted them and just put tape over all the other pins, because that would have just made more sense to do, I guess. Back to you, Tom.
I was going to say, Darren, don't fret something that we've all done. And probably, Tom, I've done it professionally at one point in time. Have you?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, as one of my coworkers at work had said, if you're not letting the smoke out and smoking hardware, you're doing something wrong because you're not learning, clearly.
100%. Everybody in electronics and radio and, you know, what we do, what I do professionally, have let the magic smoke out on more than one occasion. Yours just blew up a $3 part. My twitching hand blew up a $3,000 board. KCKGO.
That also sounds like the difference between what I was doing and what I'm trying to do.
Close, and then that was short right there. So, you know what? I'm going to have you for your punishment. You're going to have to watch 5 videos for Mr. Carlson. Mr. Carlson's lab, I think, is what it is. I like watching him. He's pretty entertaining for how he does some of his electronic repairs and videos. And, well, I'll tell you about another one here that I did. I was working at a apartment complex in Detroit, and we were going to be taking down, well, when I say take down the panel, we were going to be making sure that we could test the fire alarm system without the horn strobes going off to alert everybody. And to do so, it was a long, near-tone panel, probably about 6 foot tall, maybe 3 foot wide, and it was pretty heavy. So it took me and a coworker and a third guy from maintenance to slide it up and then pull the door away from the cabinet, the innards of the cabinet. Well, right as we were doing that, a fist fight broke out in the apartment lobby, and it spilled over, knocking us into the panel, where don't know who, two or three of us, had somehow pushed the panel, which is metal, into the circuit board. Sparks started flying, and all of a sudden, not just smoke, but fire started coming. So we burned up the customer's fire alarm panel, and they had to get a new one. I don't know if they were too happy kind of with how things happened, but it wasn't our fault. So that was probably a little bit more of a costly mistake here. I'm not certain how much that cost, but I'm thinking more like tens of thousands of dollars. So we've done some mistakes, too. Shouldn't admit that, but I should have taken the fifth too. Darren, over to you. W-A-R-A-T.
Alright guys, real quick.
Yeah, well, I'm at my location. I am going to be backing in shortly and putting up an HF antenna to do some HF shenanigans on a key. I will be out of the conversation for a little while at the very least. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Yeah, I got to jump as well. 7-3, I think both you and Tom are friends, so have a great day, and, well, good luck with HF then. And I think my subcontractor's here, so I'm going to clear two as well here. So, 7-3, guys, have a great evening. Talk to you later. W-8-R-I-T.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W-8-B.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Wally, in a WRO, you going to be home around 7 o'clock or no?
I am not sure. It's not looking like it. Got to do some running around. I got to go grab the jet ski and take it to the storage unit, blah, blah, blah. So probably not. Why? You out of town too?
No, negative. Just tonight is at D2Net. So just a reminder, I'll be connecting the Mecca with the Richmond only and then the GM. For about 6:50, I'll do that. And then 7 o'clock, they start the net. I think Wayne County has it tonight. Then maybe 2 weeks from now, Mike might take it for us. But just advice, nothing to do.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'll try to listen. Well, it's going to be here, so I'll definitely be able to listen because right now I'm driving my truck. I only got the UHF radio in the truck.
Yeah, in a few minutes I'll separate Richmond from FBI and then add Mecca to Richmond, and then at 10-2 I add GM to that. Just order of doing the work there.
Very good. Hope it's a busy net. Weather is going to be kind of counter to that. It's really nice out here. The kid said the lake was pretty rough, though.
Yeah, it's just a quick kind of a roll call net, so usually there's a few, so hopefully. I put it in Discord as well. All right, I'm going to get to it. Talk later. N-A-W-R-O, after you, sir.
Yeah, take care. All I got with me is this, so if you need any help or anything like that, I left my 800 in my work car. Silly me. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be any problem. Haven't had any yet. They would just like my finger on the button to disconnect in case something bad did happen, but shouldn't be a problem. N-A-W-R-O.
Nobody cares about Richmond. I was just kidding.
W-A-R-I-T.
You're connected to CMN Network.
The repeaters have been returned to their normal default state and are available for use. N8WRO, clear.
K-E-8-W-U-O.
How did everything sound to you, John?
Sounded great. I appreciate you doing that. The Wednesday night always sneaks up on me, and I'm always glad that I heard you kind of getting the wheels turning and getting prepared to do it, and it's nice to rely on you for that, so thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoy doing it, and it looks like Mike got with Roy there because they kind of added the backup net control, so that's good. And I'm going to guess, I haven't talked to Mike yet, but I'm going to presume he might have the net in 2 weeks. So that'll be nice. We'll have one of our own doing it too. So, yeah, it worked out good. Should be no issues there. I'm not sure if you're watching, but I think I got all the repeaters back the way they're supposed to be. So we should be all set.
All righty. I am not watching, but I presume you've done a fine job, as usual. Yeah, that will be good to have our own, you know, ace in the hole. I appreciate Mike doing that as well. I'll have to take him up on it one of these days and throw my hat in the mix. It's hard for me to, you know, be available Thursdays and Wednesdays because I work, you know. So it's especially my shift, I work late. So, but I'm on my way home now. I decided that I would just try to sneak out of there before 7 so I could get into the net. So it worked out pretty good because I was basically pulling out of the parking lot when I checked in. So it was perfect. But, you know, it'd be cool. I think they said they had 22 check-ins, which it seemed like there was a lot. It seemed like there was more than that. But we had 29 check-ins in our last two nets. Be really cool if we could get 29 representatives just from Macomb County to check into the statewide net. So we'll have to give that a shot one of these days. K-E-8-W-U-O.
N-A-W-R-O. Well, I'm thinking that maybe with Mike, doing part-time net control, maybe, you know, we can even get a few more followers with that and just keep promoting it. And, yes, the D2 net, because I get confused, too. This is the D2 net, and then the state net on HF, you probably remember they canceled it because of the weather that was out west last Sunday. But the only question I have to get with Mike, he apparently already got with Roy, is I'm just curious what log they use. Because I'm sure it's probably that online logging that they did.
Yeah, I think you're right. You might even be able to figure it out. What I've done in the past what I've seen in the past is I've checked into nets, and then I Googled my own call sign, and you'd be surprised what shows up. And some of the other nets, you'll have, I think Ron, N8XZ, is the one that made that possible. I think when I checked into one of the nets earlier on and he was doing net control or backup net control or something, he used a website. I forget the name of it, but I've seen it a few times. So yeah, I don't know, give it a Google and you might find your call sign somewhere, and it'll have the date and all that with it, so you could potentially figure it out, but Maybe not.
Yeah, I think that was the same net. It's like a call sign as part of the URL that they use for their ARPFC net for Wayne County as well. Because I do remember going to that website and just kind of like you created for us, follow along as they log. So I'll have to do that. I'll probably just ask Mike because I got to get with Mike anyways for this. But, yep, came out good. I think that's about it. Everything's all done. So tomorrow you've got RNET, I think. Is that correct?
Yep, that is correct. I think I have this one, and then the next Thursday will be a meeting, and then I think it's David's first net, I think. So I'll have to get a net topic up. I have an idea in mind for tomorrow, so I got to get that up tonight probably. And then we'll have to get something up but it's nice because we got an extra week. I always like the in-person meetings because it gives me a break. It takes a decent amount of time to come up with a weekly topic, and so it's nice to get that break. So I look forward to having other people being able to help with that one day.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, understood. And then, of course, let's not forget, you guys got the Dream Cruise on Saturday. So I thought that was pretty cool. I heard that our contingent is about equal to what Oakland County is fielding. So that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, that is good to know, good to hear. You know, I think I'm glad we were able to help out in that regard. And it sounds, you know, I saw Riley was in there. So they didn't just reach out to us. They reached out to a couple different D2, I assume all D2, but I could be wrong. But at least neighboring ARPSC jurisdictions, if you want to call it that. So that's pretty cool. That's good to hear that, you know, it's a team effort, and it's good that we're all working together, and that's teamwork makes the dream work, right?
NAWRO, oh, that's a good one. We're going to have to keep that one for this time of season. So let's try to remember collectively, everyone's got to bring their ID tag. Technically, everyone should bring their D2 task book. And you you guys for the AUX-C should bring your task books, I would imagine, just in case Riley can sign off on something. Does that sound right?
I think so. Although I never had anyone do anything with my task book last year for, like, level one, so you would know more than I would. I haven't looked at our task book in quite some time. I mean, the last time I looked at it was I was making it a fillable form, which you'll have to tell me how that's working out. But I haven't really played with it since then. And when I was messing with it in the fillable form aspect, I wasn't actually, like, reading it, you know, so I didn't really know. But, yeah, I don't know. Why do I need to bring my D2 task book? The AUXCOM one I kind of understand, provided Riley's willing to hang around after checkouts to, I wonder if he's there all day, too, because he'll either have to sign in the morning. He might not be able to sign for everybody depending on what shift they're on and what shift he's on. So that might get interesting. But if he's working the whole day, I think he can, because he can sign some in the morning and some at the end of the day. But But if he's not, then it might get a little tricky for him. But either way, I'm sure, you know, we'll find a way to make it happen.
Well, technically, for the D2 task book, anytime we're deployed, we're supposed to bring our task book with us and have it available. But possibly the ID tags with the QR codes and your so-called trading cards, maybe that will trump that. I don't know. I've asked Dave. But technically, you're supposed to have it in your car in case, you know, somebody wants to see it and take a look at it. Spot inspection type thing. So no real big deal there. Yeah, and I don't know about the OxC task book. Does he have to physically lay eyes on everybody, and then can he sign off on a later date? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But yeah, if he can sign off on them through email, then that would make things far easier. But yeah, we'll have to pick his brain, and we might know more when we take that class with Bob here that he sent us links for. But I think that's after the Gene Cruise. But nonetheless, you're right. You know, I did forget. I guess that makes sense. Is, you know, if you're deploying and net control or whoever is running that event wants to see your task book to prove that you are who you say you are, you know, that's kind of important. But then, you know, actually a good topic for the D2Net is, will other agencies in D2 accept our trading cards, or do they want the actual task book? So, yeah, I don't know. Interesting conversation for sure. I think that's all I had. Got more dishes in the mail today, so I get to play with those. Those will be fun.
Nice. Looking forward to that when it comes together. That's a good question. That's to be determined, I'm sure. Just a good topic because technically you'd have to have the paper copies. I just saw on Discord Mike confirmed he'll be net control for 2 weeks from now, so that'll be helpful. All right, John, sounds good. I'll cut you loose. Appreciate all you do. November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. After you, sir, I will listen out.
All righty. Well, have a good one, sir. I appreciate the ride home there, and we'll talk again soon. KEAWUO. Clear.
This is KEAUHC, statewide one.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WABPD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
JF8GBA, Tom and Bertrand, test and repeater.
Connected to CMN Network.